Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here today. So we are in the middle of our journey to Jerusalem. This is our Lenten journey where we're traveling with Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. And of course, it started with his baptism and then he was tempted. He gathers some followers and now we get to the meat of what he was all about. He is teaching, he's healing, he's preaching. But the thing about Jesus is he wasn't teaching like other rabbis were teaching. He was presenting new and wonderful ideas. So I want to go to Mark chapter 1, verse 27. They were all amazed. This is after Jesus had done wonderful works in the synagogue. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." A new teaching with authority. So what was it about Jesus' message that was so new? What was it that he did that sparked all these creative writings and this whole movement? What was it about the way that Jesus talked and what he said that was so new? Let us go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." What do we do with such a hard teaching? What do we do when we hear these hard, difficult words from Jesus? Now, a common handling of this text is to not take it too seriously. Maybe Jesus is talking in metaphors. Maybe that's what's going on here. Jesus likes to have metaphorical language. Maybe that's what we are encountering here. Like when Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. Surely Jesus is not wanting us to cut out our eye. This sounds like a metaphor. Or like when Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Surely, Jesus does not want us to cut off our hand. It sounds like a metaphor. Or when I'm watching a basketball game and Mary Frances comes to me and says, Bill, will you please mow the lawn? Surely, she doesn't mean that I should mow the lawn right then. Surely, she's talking in metaphorical language. Maybe it's a metaphor. When we encounter something that we don't like or that we don't want to do, we like to convince ourselves that it's a metaphor or maybe there has a deeper meaning, but it really doesn't surely mean what it means on the surface. Well, we can't do that with this teaching and so many other teachings of Jesus, but we certainly can't do that with this teaching. Loving those who persecute you, praying for those who treat you bad. Jesus had certainly a new way of showcasing God. But I want us to talk about the last line of the text here. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The translators here made a very poor choice with the word perfect. The word is actually telos in Greek, and it is a word that refers to reaching your goal. So they're talking about reaching some sort of goal. Jesus is talking about working as hard as you can to achieve the goal for which you were created for. And that goal, according to Jesus, is the kingdom of God. So to that end, let us look at the goal of this teaching. Praying for your enemies. Enemy is such a strong word. I mean, do we really have enemies out there? Surely I don't have enemies. I'm not fighting Darth Vader or something like that. That is a real enemy. I'm not in a battle with the Klingons. Those are real enemies, right? Surely I don't have enemies in my life. But there are people. There are people who we simply do not like. Be honest. There are people that when you are around them, they bug you. They bug every bit of you. They are mean. They make our lives unpleasant. You can think of one or two people in your mind right now that makes life slightly unpleasant for you. But what good would prayer do in those circumstances? Really, I want to share with you one person's prayers regarding someone at work that they are not quite thankful for. And I want you to see if you can hear what happens here with these prayers. The first prayer is as follows. God, I can't stand Tommy. He's mean, he's abrasive, and doesn't care at all about my feelings. God, please change Tommy for the better. I don't know how much longer I can stand to be around him, to be working with him. Do something soon. Amen. So a couple weeks goes by, Tommy hadn't changed a bit. Tommy is still annoying. Tommy is still in everybody's business. So after a couple weeks of praying that prayer, the prayer started to change and said, God, whatever you are doing is not working. Tommy is still mean and hateful. Maybe something is going on with his family life. I don't really know. But God, please fix whatever's happening in Tommy's life and causing his bad mood. I cannot take much more of this. Amen. A couple weeks goes by. Tommy might have gotten even worse. He certainly isn't getting better. And the prayer changed slightly. God, Tommy is still unbearable. He is making those around him miserable. Please forgive him. Prayers for your enemy does not change your enemy. It changes you. When you start praying for someone, even someone you completely disagree with and are not quite thankful for, you start seeing that person as God sees that person, a flawed human being made in the image of God, just like me. So the question is this: can we do this? Can we really go about embracing these teachings of Jesus, turning the other cheek, loving our enemies, praying for our enemies? It is extremely hard, something that is almost impossible to do. But God sees more in you than you do. I will say it again. God sees more in you and your potential than you do. I want you to think about that. God believes in you more than you do. God made you, and God knows what you are capable of and the potential that you have, and God is clearly on your side. And it's amazing. It's amazing to have someone in your corner like that. It's amazing to have a presence that believes in you so fully and so completely. Look at David in the Bible, King David. He has the most renowned king in all of Israel. But his own father, growing up, didn't believe in him. Didn't even think to present him when Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel. But Samuel believed in David. And because Samuel's belief in David, he became the greatest of all the kings in Israel. That's how important it is and how powerful it is to have someone believe in you. But maybe that's an ancient example. Maybe we can't relate to such an ancient example. Let's bring it to a modern example here. Michael didn't make his high school varsity basketball team as a sophomore. But his JV coach believed in him and pushed him to succeed and gave him all the tools necessary. And because his junior varsity coach believed in him, Michael Jordan became the world's greatest basketball player. But maybe that example is too famous, too out there. Maybe we should bring an example closer to home. Maybe when a local pastor was facing the hardest and darkest parts of his life, the board chair and the rest of the church rallied behind him, supported him through these awful, awful circumstances. And the result is a growing and vibrant church, a vibrant community of faith with a pastor that still feels that support and still feels that love every single day. Amen. Did you notice how I grouped myself with Michael Jordan and King David? I didn't want that to go unnoticed. All right? When we hear teachings like this, when we hear teachings from Jesus, we start doubting our abilities. We start doubting the idea that we could actually embrace teachings like this. But God sees more in you than you do. We all have unwavering support from the Lord our God. God has plans for you. God has a purpose for you. God intends to use you for something spectacular. And that something is to be exactly who you were created to be and to help God create a different world. Jesus calls that different world the kingdom of God, where violence does not breed more violence and hate does not kindle more hate. Martin Luther King Jr. has a great quote, and I will use it here. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Let's do it. Let's claim our identity as disciples of Christ. Let's return hate with love. Let's turn the other cheek. Let's pray for those who stand against us. It's incredibly countercultural. But you will never, never stand closer to Jesus than when you embrace those teachings. And your biggest fan, your greatest supporter, the one who believes in you the most is God Almighty. Praise be to this wonderful God. Amen.